When do you trust God? Why do we trust God? Where do we trust God? How do we trust God? Is the relationship we have with God, is it based on just being selfish? Lord, I want you to. Lord, I need you to. When the sun is shining and I think from my perspective that everything is okay, I don't really need to spend much time with God because He's not important. But when the hard times come, oh, you know, we really need the Lord. We need to pray. We need to seek His will. If we treated each other like we treat God, would our relationships even last? If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you turn with me to the book of Ruth. It's after the book of Judges, and it is before the book of 1 Samuel, and it is found in the Old Testament. When you get to the book of Ruth, please put your finger at chapter 1, verse 1, and follow along as we read out loud in your hearing. Ruth 1, 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, who should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown, and would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy and divine word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, and may you prove yourself to be the awesome God, the redemptive God, the loving God. As we look at our text, and we ask that you speak to all of our hearts and challenge us from your word, may we bring consolation, comfort, conviction to whoever needs it today. May your word be cast out upon the waters, and may it not return unto you void. Pray, Father, for that soul that's closest to hell, that stands on the precipice of eternity, a lost state, may they be saved from today. For those of us who need encouragement along the way, may we find it here in your word. Pray for your spirit, for your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have been doing a series called Famine in the Land. Famine is, simply put, a lack of food. Famine is a scarcity of sustenance. It can be caused by a lot of conditions, some due to nature, some due to acts of war, some due to politics. There are many reasons why famines occur, where people that should have something to eat don't have something to eat. There are many occasions in the Bible where it speaks of famines, and those are the ones we've been focusing on these last 3 or 4 weeks. We started out by talking about the first man, the first famine that was mentioned in the Bible, and that was Abraham. Then we talked about his son, Isaac. And they both had a desire, when things were lean and mean, to go back to Egypt. Abraham went to Egypt, and he did not make a good choice, and it cost him. His son Isaac was influenced by his father, and he decided that he would also go to Egypt when famine once again struck the land, but he was specifically told by God, don't go to Egypt. Last week, we talked about another man, Joseph, who was used by Pharaoh in a most miraculous way. And we talked about the fact that sometimes when bad things happen to good people, God allows it to happen for a reason. That His divine will might supersede even our evil intentions. Because we learned last week that Joseph's 10 brothers hated him so much that they wanted to get rid of him short of killing him. But they actually lied to their father and told him that he had been killed by some sort of wild beast, when in reality, they decided to get rid of him by selling him for 20 pieces of silver and sending him down to Egypt. But we learned that in the midst of their evilness, God was able to use even that act to bring about the salvation of the nation of Israel. Because Joseph, in spite of his hardships, he went from the pit to the prison to the pinnacle to being the right-hand man to Pharaoh to being the second in command, because he was an interpreter of dreams, which was a gift given to him by God. And God was given all the credit for what Joseph was able to do, even when it came to being able to save his brothers' lives. Joseph tells his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And in the midst of all that, we ask this question, is when do we trust God? 3 things I want you to think about today as we look at this chapter in the book of Ruth. A wrong decision, a wrong direction, and a wrong disposition. Famine can make people do things they would not normally do. Famine can make people go places they would not normally go. Some of the famines mentioned in the Bible were actually caused or allowed to happen by God, such as the one that happened in Egypt that followed 7 years of spectacular harvest. And as you look around the fields in Highland County and other counties, you find that harvest time is fast approaching. The beans are beginning to turn to that magic color of brown, the corn is starting to dry up from the ground up, and everything looks like it's going to be a good year. That was the way it was in Egypt for 7 years. They had never seen crops like that. But just as good as the crops were, the famine was so devastating that nobody could remember how good things were because they could only talk about how bad things are. In this country, at the end of last year, things fell apart. The bottom fell out of our economy. People were losing money that had saved it, planning for retirement. People that thought they could retire found out that they could no longer retire, and they were going to have to work a little longer. People who had planned to retire at 30 years are now being told, now we need you for another 5. People who had been told that your salary is based on your 3 highest years are now being told it's based on your 5 highest years. People who were told that you had to put a little bit of money into your retirement are being told, now you've got to put a little bit more money in. They say that things are getting better, but I talk to people and I find that for a lot of people, at least in Highland County in the state of Ohio, things are not necessarily any better. I talked to a friend of mine who worked at an office, and they called him on Thursday and said, we're having a meeting on Friday to talk about closing your office. I asked him, he called me and told me, he said, they've closed the office. I said, just like that? Just like that. I said, effective when? He said, effective today. I said, what happened to you? He said, I was able to keep my job, but now I have to go to another spot every day to show up and go to work. Because when you go into the office, they kept saying, there's nothing going on here. People are not coming in. Business is almost non-existent or slow. You find that the city of Hillsboro and the county, as well as the state, are not getting any better in terms of their financial resources because they say the money just isn't there. The budgets still need to be trimmed. And you're thinking, well, you've already cut away the fat, and now you're getting to the meat, and now you're leaning in close to the bone. How much more can we take? When you are in a desperate situation, what should you do? Here's the whole thing I want you to consider as we go through this text. Decisions made without God's perspective and guidance can be disastrous. One of the things that you always find in these texts that we have looked at is that when people decide to make their choices, never do you see where they stopped and asked God what He wanted them to do. Never do you see where they stopped and prayed and sought God's will and direction in their lives. They look at their situation and they practice what's known as situation ethics, which means, oh, here's what we need to do based on what's happening. Well, what about what God was going to do or what God could do? And the question is when do we trust God? Sometimes we make our move and then when things don't work out, then we come back to God. But you find a wrong decision. It says that there was a certain man in Bethlehem, and this all takes period during the period of the judges in the Jewish history. And here's the mindset of people that lived in Judah and Israel in those days. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, they had a Burger King mentality. Have it your way. If it feels good, if I think it's right for me, I'm going to do it. Now, you really can't fault the world for thinking that way because that's the system of thinking that they operate on. But for people who say they know God, for people who say they love God, where did you get that from?
What do you mean?
Any day you wake up and are allowed to put your feet on the ground, do you stop and thank the Lord for allowing you to be in the land of the living one more day? Does your mind even go there? Or do you hit the ground sometimes running because I'm late, I'm behind, I need to get to school, I need to get to work, I need to, I'll pray later, I'll think about God later, but right now, I can't afford to be late one more day, I've got to be there on time, you know, I'm going to miss the bus, I'm going to miss my ride, and off we go. Do we know what's going to happen to us in the course of the day? We have no idea. We like to think that because we've got a schedule, we know what's going to happen. But how many times has that proved not to be true? Incidents and accidents have intervened in the course of our day. We get phone calls about our friends, our loved ones, our family, that something has happened, unexpected. When do we trust God? Why do we trust God? You know, it's like the guy who's driving around trying to find a parking space, and he's asking the Lord, Lord, just help me to find a space close to the building, just someplace up front. Please, Lord, just help me to find a space. As he's driving around, a car pulls out. He pulls in. He said, that's okay, God, I got it. You know, I didn't need God to find me a parking space. I took care of it myself. And sometimes we go through our whole day and our whole week and our whole lives doing it ourselves. As it says in the last verse, in the last chapter of Judges, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. But when we don't consider and consult God about our decisions, how do we trust God? It says there was a famine in the land. Hard times. What are we going to do? Tighten our belts. Pinch pennies. As my grandmother used to call it, make do. I could tell that I was not raised like everybody else because I was helping a man move. And he said, oh, just throw that away. We can get another one. Don't bother to clean that up. We can go buy another one. I said, you're going to spend money for something you don't have to just because you don't want to take the time to clean it? That's right. I said, wow, that must be a nice way to live life. Oh, just pitch it. Go get another one. It'll be all right. Really? What kind of financial reserves do you have? What do you mean? Well, I mean, it's just all throw away and I don't care and it's making a difference. Ah! I said, wow, can I come live with you?
I mean, I could have anything and everything new. Just throw away the old out of the new. Just pitch it. It don't make any difference. Famine in the land. Hardship. Scarcity of food. He's the head of the household. He's the breadwinner. He lives in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And it says that he says, well, you know what, honey? We're going to go take a little trip. We're going to Moab. And the funny thing is, it says in verse number 1, he went to sojourn. The word sojourn means just spend a little time. He wasn't planning to be gone long. He was just going to go for a little while. It says his name was Elimelech, which means God is king. He's married to a woman whose name is Naomi. And her name means something interesting because it means my delight. And so they have these two sons, Chilion and Malon. One's name means weak, and the other means sickly, puny. So how would you like two kids that were called puny and weak or sickly? Come on, boys. Come on, puny. Come on, piney. Come on, weak. Come on, sickly. And I'm assuming they were named that because that's probably what their physical characteristics were like, and probably also their disposition. I mean, when those people gave their kids names in those days, it symbolized and represented something, but they had two sons, weak and sickly, puny. Honey, we're going to go to Moab. I've heard things are better over in Moab. We're just going to be there a little while. You know, when you make decisions, what does God have to do to get your attention so that you focus upon Him? I ask the question, when do we trust God? Sometimes it's not until something bad happens when we make wrong decisions, which have disastrous results. It says they came into the country of Moab instead of sojourning. It says they continued there. After they're there for a little while, guess who dies? Elimelech. So Naomi is a widower, and she's going through all of the sense of loss because she is now left with just two boys, Malon, Chilion. And she's over in a strange country trying to make it. And it says that her sons are of age, so instead of doing what they should do, which means they were not supposed to be intermarrying with other nations because God wanted them to be devoted to Him and Him alone, they also make bad decisions in the fact that they marry women from the country of Moab. And here was the whole deal. The reason why God did not want intermarriage, and this came up in Sunday school, was these other nations worship many other false gods. And they have their temples and their sacrifices, and it was like, if you marry me, you marry my God. If you marry me, you marry my religion. If you marry me, you worship like I do. I guess the old cliche is, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So they marry these two women. And they're still there. And the Bible says that they were there for 10 years. When was the last time you went someplace, Charlie, expecting to be gone a couple of weeks, and you didn't come back for 10 years? Well, when you're gone for that long, anything that you own, anything that you have, probably isn't going to be in the same shape when you get back. So they made a wrong decision which had disastrous results. First of all, the father dies. So Naomi is a widow. Secondly, the boys go off and marry two women who were from Moab, Orpah and Ruth. And then to make matters worse, as if it couldn't get any better or any worse, the boys die. Malon and Chilion, the Bible says in verse 5, died also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. They say that life can either make you better or bitter. And you go, what are you talking about? It depends on your perspective. And the point was, when you make decisions without getting God's perspective, that the results can be disastrous. The thinking was simply this: if God loves me, I am blessed. I have a reasonable portion of good health. I'm clothed in my right mind. My kids seem to be getting along okay. My husband and I seem to be loving one another. I seem to be doing well on my job. I seem to be doing well in school. I seem to be doing well if I'm playing sports, or I'm in music, or I'm in drama, or I'm in whatever extracurricular activity. Things are going well. God is smiling. God is blessing me. But people usually think that if things don't go well, if you look outside and the sun isn't shining and it's cloudy,
and things start happening, why is this happening to me? Sometimes it happens because God is trying to get our attention. You know, God speaks to us in three ways. The first way He would like to speak to us is simply this, called the B-I-B-L-E. As we learned in Vacation Bible School, now that's the book for me. Why do we teach kids that? Because it's true. The Bible describes itself as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It says, its words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It is to guide us and to lead us and to teach us and to train us about ourselves. It tells us all about our past. It tells us all about our present. It tells us all about our future. It tells us who God is, why He is. He tells us why He created us. He tells us His plan and His purpose for our lives collectively and individually. It's a road map. When was the last time you went somewhere, unless it was on a mystery trip, where you didn't know where you were going? Unless you're out for some real adventure, try it sometime. Sometimes with disastrous results. One of the things I learned when I was out west in the desert was, people that take wrong turns usually don't come back. They find them, but they don't come back. They're dead, because they got lost. They said when you go out and you're hiking, things are deceptively deceitful in terms of what appears to be close and not close. I was driving down the road, there were sand dunes. I said, well, I think I'll just walk out to those sand dunes and take a closer look. I walked, and I walked, and I walked. And I said, you know what? These seem to be a little further away than I thought they were. And I walked, and I walked, and finally I got there. And they said, the danger in wandering around the desert is, once you change and lose sight of your bearings, it's real easy to get lost. People turn around and go, oh, where's the car? I can't see the road. I think it's this way. And the next thing you know is they don't come back. And sometimes when we live our life by not having a road map, by not seeking God's plan, we wander off and we go, oh, I think I've turned the wrong direction. God can speak to us through His Word. Sometimes God can speak to us through our circumstances. We're not thinking about God. We can care less about God. He's the last and the least thing on our mind instead of being the first and the most important thing on our mind. So God uses circumstances. And in this case, Naomi's husband Elimelech dies. I'm sure she thought about God when that happened. And then her sons die. I know she's really thinking about that because you find what happens when she comes back to Judah, how she feels about what happened. Well, not only did she make a wrong decision, which had disastrous results, she gave wrong directions. Can God fix our mess-ups? Sure. Genesis to Revelation, the story is always told of redemption, and the book of Ruth is a book of redemption. Because even though these people made wrong decisions, God still had a plan and a purpose for their lives. The other way God can speak to us is through nature. You know, there's a famine in the land. When things are tough and things were tight, does it focus our attention on God? Well, if we're looking at life and living it from His perspective and seeking His will, yes. Did God tell them to go to Moab? No, but they weren't seeking God's perspective on life. They were going on whatever they wanted to do. So she gives wrong directions because she's got these two daughter-in-laws. One's name is Orpah, the other's name is Ruth. And so at first they all decide, well, we're going to go back to Judah because it says in verse 6, they had heard, well, God has visited His people and the famine is over, so I guess it's safe to come back home. Let the good times roll. Let's go back home and follow the food. So they start back home and they start on their way, and all of a sudden Naomi says, stop. You girls need to stay here and go back to your own families. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for the kind of daughters-in-law you've been. But you know what? There's nothing for you in Israel. There's no hope there. There's nothing there to change your life. There's nothing there to make a difference. Just go back to what you're doing. Go back to the ungodly lifestyle that you had when you're walking in darkness and you're lost. Go back and just go away from God. She gave wrong directions. You know, people that aren't thinking right sometimes can give you advice, and it's not good advice. So just go back where you came from. Instead of coming back with me to the land of promise, to the land of hope, to the land of my God, to the land of our fathers,
to learn about who He is, the one, the true God, go back to your false gods and go back to your wrong lifestyle. She gave bad directions. And you know, when people come into our lives, what kind of advice do we give them? If they're our children, if they're our friends, if they're our neighbors, why do people come into our lives? Why does God let people cross our paths? Just so we can observe what they do and say, oh, I've never seen a worse bunch of sinners. I've never seen people that can raise more hell. Those people are on their way to hell quickly. They're greasing the skids. They are as lost as a $3 bill. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be light. God lets people cross our paths. What do we do with the opportunity? Just keep doing what you're doing. It'll be okay. Don't give wrong directions. Point people to the light. We claim we got, Quakers, the inner light. We claim that Jesus is the light of the world. Wrong decisions, wrong directions, wrong disposition. I told you before, life can make you better, or life can make you bitter. So she's telling her daughters-in-law, just go back to that ungodly lifestyle. One decides to return. The other decides to stay. Her name was Ruth. And she says, nope, don't ask me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I go, and where you lodge, I lodge, and thy people should be my people, and thy God, my God. I'm willing to come out of darkness and walk in the light. I'm willing to trust in the God of your fathers. You know, I ask the question, how do we trust God? Do we trust Him to make a way out of no way? That's the ultimate trust, and the ultimate act of faith is when we don't know how, but we know who. But my point is, this is a book of redemption. Even though people have made wrong turns, even though they made wrong decisions, even though they've given bad directions, God is still in the redeeming business, because one thing that Ruth did was she would not leave her mother-in-law Naomi, and the other thing that Naomi did was she decided to go back where she should have been in the first place. She should never have gone to Moab. Look what it cost her. It cost her husband, it cost her sons, and she comes back with a heavy heart. Some people, when life brings a cruel or a tough or a strong blow in a negative sense, they're never the same. It's just as if they were a candle and somebody blew out the light. It's like whenever that event happened to whatever that was in their life, or whoever it was in their life, they stopped living. The lights are on, but there's nobody home. They are never the same as they used to be. For them, life is over. And it's a tough struggle to make it through day by day, because they're not seeking God's perspective, or not looking for what God is doing in the midst of their suffering. People ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes because we make wrong decisions. You know, if I go out and play in the middle of the street, and I'm told not to play because it's dangerous, and I'm drug out of the middle of the street, I am reinforced in a mighty way on my behind with the rod of instruction to the seed of knowledge, and I still go back out and play in the street, and I get hit by a car, whose fault is that? Well, it's my mother's fault, because she wasn't watching me. Really? How long am I going to sing that song? So for everything that happens in my life, I'm going to point back to the two people that brought me in the world, or the teachers that I had, or the preacher that I had, or the Sunday school teacher I had, or my neighbors, or anybody else, or my siblings, or my friends. They weren't watching me. They weren't looking out for me. It's their fault. Really? Who made you go out and stand in the middle of the street like a dump, as my father used to say? You need to wear a cap. For those of you who don't know, it was this tall, pointy cap. It was a cylinder, and they put it on your head, and they sit in the corner, and it was a dunce cap, which means not too bright. If I saw the dog laying out there, and it was dead, and I saw the cat laying out there like a flat pancake, and I'm thinking, well, gee, that won't happen to me. If I'm out in the middle of the street, and the trucks are driving by at 40, 50, 60 miles an hour, I can just step out of the way. I'm quick, I'm nimble, I'm young. Right. But it's not my fault I'm out there in the danger. Nobody ever told me. Can't say that. But sometimes that's the way we act with God, is, you know, well, I don't know why this happened to me. Really? How about you weren't following instructions? We weren't going by the map. We weren't listening. We weren't looking. We did more talking than anything else, thinking we know what we're doing. But in spite of that, you find that God is a gracious God.
Because he's bringing, always bringing, always calling, always extending, always waiting for us to return. And when she comes back, she still doesn't have her mind right. She has a wrong disposition. Because when she comes back, it says when they came back, everybody said, you know, have you ever seen people that when things happen to them, it dramatically changes the way they look? They said, what you think and how you feel sometimes shows up on your face. People who used to laugh and smile and look youthful and happy can come back and look like they are perpetually sucking on a lemon, which means their face is drawn, they look tired, they look like somebody has beat them down, and they're continually beating them down, and that they have nothing to live for, and there is no hope, and their energy is gone, because they may be 25 years old, but they move like they're... Well, I can't say that, because some folks around here don't move like that. There are some people that get old and they don't move fast. They creep along. Slowly. I always say there's two ways you can tell you're getting old. One, when was the last time you ran anywhere? And the second thing is you're afraid of falling. Oh, might break something. If you are afraid of falling because you're going to break something, you haven't run anywhere. I think you crossed the bridge over to being OLD. Now, Miss Jane, she is a miracle and inspires a lot of people because I just don't understand how she does it. She's just zipping along and just got all kinds of energy. You look at Miss Edna out there cutting her grass, working in the garden. People are going, how old are them people? Oh, they're in their 90s. They're in their 90s. Look at them out there just going and acting like they don't. Oh, man. And you look at the 20-year-old. Oh, whew. Tired. Tired. Look at the teenagers. Oh, barely make it. I'm just so busy with the sports and the schooling, and I just get up and get on. Oh, and I'm going, splinters. These people are not chips off the old block. They're splinters. They're not cut from the same bolt. They're threads. And you're going, my goodness, if they're like this when they're 15 and 25, what are they going to be like in 10 more years? Oh. I'm old. I told my boss I used to have, I said, one of the funniest things you ever said to me was when you turned 50, you knew you were getting old because you got up one day and you put your underwear on backwards. You thought, not even thinking right. Oh my goodness. Sometimes life can show up on people's faces. And you look at them, you go, Libby? Haven't seen you in 10 years, but, you know, you want to be nice, but you're thinking, wow. What happened to you? And then they open their mouth, and then they, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it says that, they said, is this Naomi? You know, your hair turns gray, or it falls out, or it gets thin, and you get wrinkles, and you move slow, and you act slow, and you've got no energy, and people are like, is this Naomi? My delight? What? She was so beautiful when she, what happened in Moab? Wrong disposition. She says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. My life is not better. My life is bitter. And it's bitter because the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why do you call me my delight when Jehovah has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Famine can make us do things we wouldn't normally do. Famine can make us go places we wouldn't normally go. And when circumstances and situations happen, how do we respond? She wasn't thinking like Job, who when he lost everything he had, said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thanked him when I had it. I thanked him when I didn't have it. I thank him all the time because God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. People say, but you don't know my circumstances. I don't have to. I'm telling you, that's the kind of God he is. He's good all the time. Even in the midst of our desert, dried up situation, he's still God. He's still there. He still loves us. He still cares. Don't make wrong decisions based on how we feel. Don't make wrong directions by giving advice that's not good.
Don't have a bad disposition. There's nothing worse than a sad Christian.
You mean, what do you mean? But I'm suffering.
Right. But I'm suffering for my faith.
Right.
I'm suffering for the cause of Christ.
Right.
Count it all joy that you're worthy to suffer for the name, the sake of the name. But you don't. I don't have to understand. I just know who. Do we trust God in the midst of our famine situation? Or we'll be like Ruth, who came from a background where she didn't have that kind of foundation, but still found who God was. She found God in the midst of being in a dark, desperate situation, and she trusted Him. And she devoted her life to Him. And she followed Him. And because she followed Him, it's a story of redemption, because even though our path may be a little shaky, God can still use us in the kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are, reminding us how to make good decisions in the midst of a famine situation. To trust You. When do we trust You? Where do we trust You? How do we trust You? Always, at all times, and in all things. And we know that You're going to work things out for our good and Your glory. Even if at the immediate moment it doesn't seem, we know that something good is coming our way because we serve a God who always has our best interests at heart. We thank You for the story of redemption, that You found that which was lost and then found and even became a blessing by what You did in the lives of Ruth and Naomi, because You, through them, gave us Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.